Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Burt Show.
All right, we're going to take a couple of calls here. I think Natalie's definitely in the minority, though. They've only got 2 people saying, yep, so I do the same thing. I think about exes when I'm with my current.
Only 2 people.
Only 2. We'll take
Natalie,
those calls.
When Natalie first called us, she's like, everybody does it.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's going to find out that I don't think that that's the case. Here, we're going to call her Christine, and she's on The Voice Disguiser. Hi.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I think you guys are so lying, because I'm with Natalie. People do that. We need to put all you all on the lie detector test.
Okay.
I would take it. I'd take it tomorrow.
You can.
If you've been with someone for a very long time, and you may have in your past had someone that was really good in that area, may have been jacked up in other areas, sometimes you go back and you fantasize about those people. And to me, I don't mind if my current thinks about other people. Just don't let me know about it.
Mm-hmm. See, now here's what I promise you.
I mean,
there are so many people
part.
that have the same feeling about this that you do, that it's almost actually made me change my mind, even though I'm sure about this. That is one of the few times during my day that I can actually focus. Mm. It's one of the very few things that I do where I'm actually in the moment, seriously. So I have never had that thought of a celebrity or an ex or anything during that time. I got work to do.
Me neither. And I do think now
we're not ADD in that time.
No.
And I do think it's okay to say, yes, it does bother me for my partner to be thinking about somebody else, because that's why you don't want to know. It's not that I don't care.
Oh, it's
you
totally
do care.
Bother me.
You just don't let it, you know. But I can honestly say I don't do that.
So, Christine, let me ask you. So if you're with a guy and are you like literally putting his face on your former lover's body while you guys are having sex?
No, I'm actually just thinking about the other person. Actually, and I know it may sound not so nice, but I am. I'm actually, and it's not just that person. I may be thinking about being someone watching us or you know, my ex watching, not necessarily that they are, you know, that we're in the act together, but they may be watching us.
So your ex specifically is watching you?
Right.
Well, I think that means you still miss them.
Yeah, I think there's something up with that.
That's not it.
Then what?
Why do you think she's like, I don't miss much?
It's just another, for me, it's just another way to get me more aroused, you know. So it's not that I miss that person, not at all.
So if we're using logic with it, if you're physically with a person that was better than your best, then you wouldn't be fantasizing about anybody else.
Necessarily say that. It's just that's just what does it for me. Everybody's different, you know. What makes it work for them sexually, for me, it's thinking about other people.
Okay. All right.
I appreciate her honesty.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, just now everybody else is calling in now. Good morning, Alexis. You're on Q100.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You guys aren't going to believe this, and you're going to tell me I'm crazy and I'm lying, but the truth of the matter is that I have been married for over 10 years. Mm-hmm. My family and my house and my lifestyle is 100% the most important thing to me, and I have tried to get my husband to think about other people in bed.
Why?
You think it would make him better?
I want him to be happy, and I want him to be excited, because if he's excited sexually, he's going to excite me sexually. And it, to me, whether it's thinking about somebody, for some people, it's thinking about somebody. For other people, it's wearing a leather garter, you know, whatever it may be.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But I would love, my family is the most important thing to me, and I would love to keep that, and I want to keep my husband happy.
Mm-mm.
And if that means he thinks about somebody else in bed, then so be it.
Really?
I have a hard time accepting the fact that I'm honest about that. But
well, I want to ask why you think that he's not excited enough just thinking about you.
Pick your most favorite dish in the planet. Let's just call it banana splits. If you eat a banana split every single day for 10 years, you know, sometimes you might just want an ice cream sandwich.
Well, why don't you take it to an extreme then? Because all you're doing is asking him to pretend the banana split's a slice of pizza. Why don't you let him go get the pizza?
Well,
That's different.
You don't want to know that either, but I would never admit this to him. But if he did and that made him happy, I would not leave him for that.
Then you're crazy.
Okay.
No, then I will call you crazy.
No, I mean, that's your definition of happiness. That's cool for y'all. I couldn't live with that definition.
My jealousy would get out of control. That'd be in my head if you were thinking about somebody else, but you were with me at that time. My jealousy would be out of control.
I think
what
that you...
What about guys who are watching porn? It's no different. If your man is looking at porn, and just like they said earlier, you know, if I'm thinking about it, that I'm cheating. Well, guess what? You're right. If you're thinking about it, you're cheating. And if what level, whether you're thinking about it or whether you're doing it, cheating is cheating. If you're watching porn and that's what you think about, I mean, we all talk about whether they're thinking about an ex, and that's not good. But what if they were thinking about Miss Hollywood out there in the porn scene, and that's what did it for him? That would be okay?
That would be less offensive to me than if it was an ex. Like, I would never ask Stacy, my wife, the question if she's ever fantasized about a celebrity because I don't want to know the answer. But if she ever confessed to me that she was thinking about an ex-boyfriend, it literally feels like it's infidelity to me.
Well, because the celebrity's unobtainable, you know?
That's in some sort of fantasy imaginary land.
Yeah, they're not going to leave you for the celebrity, but they would leave you for the ex.
I want a banana split.
If your partner's going to leave you, they're going to leave you. I mean,
and then that goes back to your argument though. It goes back to your argument though. Because I can't believe you would say it's okay for your husband to, because you went to the level of saying it was okay for him to cheat on you as long as he's happy. And I just think that that's easier said than done. I don't think you could handle that.
And I agree. And like I said, I've never told him that, but I wonder if I can go this far, which I truly can, 100% guilt free. I have asked him while we were in the middle of sex to think about somebody else. Originally, it was think about anybody, and then it was think about this person, and he doesn't buy it. He can't go with it, and that's okay. But I think I am right now trying anything I can to...
You should see if he's even paying attention. Be like, think of Steve Buscemi.
That would break my focus so much and sort of the bubble that I'm in at that time if Stacey said something like that I don't think that'd even go on.
I think that, yeah,
well,
you said...
Unfortunately, you get to a point where you've been doing the same thing so long. I mean, I don't know. Y'all talked about stale spots in sex life, you know? I mean, it gets to that point where you're not really in a bubble. You're just doing the deed, and I want my husband back in that bubble. I want him excited and energetic, and if he can relax, that will relax me, and I will get right back into it, and maybe we can find it together.
You're a fascinating creature.
Think of the blue wiggle.
Wow. Fascinating.
I don't know. Anyway, I just think about her telling him what to do. I just wonder if
it's more of what she wants than what he wants.
Yeah,
that's what I thought.
Yeah,
it's like crazy fantasy.
She needs to figure out what he really wants. If he wants a chase with her, then she needs to stop telling him what to do.
Think of Kermit the Frog.
Seems to be working for them though. Good morning, Lindsay. You're on the Voice Disguiser.
Yes, hello. My story's kind of like hers, but I don't know if it's better. But I think about my husband's best friend, and he actually tells me that he's thinking about me with him. But I don't tell him that he's thinking about me with his best friend.
Okay,
we're going to go back to the first part.
Yeah, we're gonna have to draw this on the chalkboard here. Hold on a second.
Okay. Well, first of all, there was an instance where we were in the same room doing the same thing. And I don't know why, but from then on, I just kept thinking about his best friend and I doing that.
So who was in the room doing the same thing?
His best friend and his wife me and my husband.
So you, and at that point, you sort of mentally check out and you're pretending that you're making love to your husband's best friend. And
exactly. And
the best friend confessed to you that he was doing the same with you.
Whoa.
Yes, and my husband confessed that he was thinking about me doing it with him.
So you guys swingers?
No. Jeff.
That's a crazy question. No, we just have sex in a room with a lot of people. Not a swinger, though.
Well, I'm assuming that's what those situations are for, right? So you could sort of fantasize about the other people there?
Yeah, kind of to spice up our sex life.
Okay.
I think there's a fine line between spicing up your sex life and ruining it. See, now I got Jeff. I can't say the word anymore.
Ruining it altogether.
You know what I mean? Because
you're gonna ruin it
is one thing, but I think her actually expressing to the best friend and them talking about it And because I don't know, I just think that people in their mind, they think, oh, this is a great idea, and I'm just so bored. And then you end up messing up the whole thing.
Hey, Angel wants to be on The Voice Disguiser. Good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Okay. How are you?
Pretty good, thanks.
What's up?
Yeah, my ex-wife one time asked me, you know, to think about somebody else and mentioned that person's name while we were, you know, intimate, and it worked fine for us. I mean, I don't see nothing wrong with it.
So hold on. She was telling you who to fantasize about?
No, actually, she just told me to think about her name. So I thought about my sister-in-law, and she enjoyed it.
You thought about your sister-in-law?
Yeah.
Your brother's wife?
Nah, my wife's sister.
Your wife's sister.
And that's you said her name? And you said her name in the middle?
She wanted him to say the name.
Yeah, a couple of times I said it, and it was fine with her. So, I mean, we had a good night. I mean, it was the best night I had. So.
But you said this is your ex...
That's okay.
But you said this is your ex-wife, right?
No, it's my wife now.
It is your wife now? Okay.
Yeah. That's my ex-wife. was something similar like it, too. But she wanted to see me with somebody else. And we did a couple of times. And then the next day, it was totally... It was good, too. So
here's the one part of it I missed. Did your wife tell you to fantasize about her sister, or you said the name out loud?
I said the name out loud.
Oh.
It was fine with her. She just told me fantasize about anybody you want. So, I mean, I didn't want to say my ex, so I say her sister's name, so it was fine.
That's and you thought
worse.
That would be
it
less
was
offensive?
Fine with her. That's what he's saying, is it was fine with her.
It was less offensive to the wife.
I would have been ticked.
I think it was. I think it was less offensive to her than me mentioning somebody else's name. I mean, especially someone.
Oh,
wow.
God. I guess if some people can handle that, I would be ticked off.
Yeah.
Hell no.
I would rather be bored. I don't want to freshen it up to where we're doing crazy crap like that.
That's just like sounds hurtful.
Yes.
It's only because he knows them. Like, you know her. It's not like he's going through and picking random Facebook friends. I mean, who would do that?
Brian wants to be on The Voice Disguiser. Hey, Brian.
Hey, I'm sorry to kind of break up the fun this morning, but, you know, this subject is very sensitive, and being a member of the gay community and speaking, I guess, mostly to Melissa, I just think we have to be very careful how we express our views of a subject like this, because day in and day out on a global scale, we are ridiculed, criticized, and demeaned because so many people out there think what we do from a sexual perspective and who we do it with and how we do it is so wrong. And when we start to express that same view or our internal views against other people, we kind of become hypocrites. So
I'm not a hypocrite. I'm in a monogamous relationship with my girlfriend who I love, that is the only person I think about when I'm with her, and it's a legitimate relationship, and I'm not worried about people who think my relationship is subpar.
I'm curious.
And I don't question that, Melissa. I question when you say to someone what you're doing is wrong or you shouldn't think that way. Then you do put yourself in that position of passing judgment against that person's acts, thoughts, beliefs.
I see what he's saying.
I mean, but I'm not going to appease somebody just because I'm worried that they're going to, you know, that I'm not being fair because they think I'm wrong. I don't think it's healthy for certain couples to bring other people in for someone to see a porn tape with their ex-wife. I don't think that's healthy. So I am going to be critical of that.
Same thing. The Christian.
I'm not worried about them.
Us.
I'm not doing that.
I don't agree with him, but I understand his point.
I mean, I do understand your point, but I think you're worried too much about what other people think.
Why is any different from Melissa saying that's crazy than it would be for anybody else
for
in the
you
room
to say it?
I think the short of it is he's saying that the homosexual community is expecting open mindedness. And he's hearing Melissa be closed-minded to people that are doing things that she normally wouldn't do.
But I don't equate my
think
relationship.
Melissa is entitled completely to her opinion.
I don't equate my relationship.
I think you should say, that's not how I would treat my relationship. It's when you state to someone, I think you're wrong doing that.
If I was straight or gay, I have the same opinion. And I don't equate my relationship with someone who's cheating on their partners if they were straight. So, I mean, I see what you're saying.
I think yours is more along the lines of your rules of monogamy and the way that you navigate monogamy, regardless of what sex the couple,
and I think
what gender the couple is.
None of these people were talking about cheating, though.
Yeah, they're all fine.
None of them are talking about cheating.
I think that woman who has told her husband's best friend that she is fantasizing about having sex with him, and he is saying he's fantasizing about having sex with her, I guarantee if we talk to them in 6 months, they've had an affair with each other.
Well, it's fantasizing one thing. Acting on it's another.
And just for the record, Brian, Melissa has privately told me she fantasizes about me.
Right.
So
I mean,
that
I appreciate
makes it
what
better.
You're saying, but thanks, I, you know, I think that I, you know, one thing it is, I what I'm fighting for is not open-mindedness, it's just equality. So I'm going to be as equally, you know, critical, and I'm also going to celebrate the straight couples that I admire, just like I would if I was straight.
But isn't the bottom line, at the end of the day, isn't it healthy relationships that are defined individually?
Yes, if both people are honest, but I mean, I think we can all agree that some of the people we've talked to, I don't think they're being honest about being okay with what's going on.
I don't know. I've never lived that way, so I don't know, but... I know I couldn't do it myself.
I mean, the whole conversation started from Terry, who, you know, and I think that I'm sure there are listeners and people in the room that are concerned that she didn't stand up for herself and that she's appeasing to her husband to keep that relationship alive. And I think that's dangerous. She's not happy with that. That's not a healthy relationship.
Yeah, I don't think they're done. You know? I don't think they're done with that conversation.
No way.
The Burt Show. The Burt Show.
Yeah, well, Burt told us in our post-show meeting, what was it, like last week, something about how the style of women's underwear that they wear says something about their personality. And so ever since he said that, and he was like, don't read it, don't read the article, whatever. So I'm going to read it to you guys on the air, and we'll, you know, figure out what it says about you. So I told, and I just brought it up 2 seconds ago. I said, hey, Burt, did you get rid of that underwear article? I'm like, because every morning I get dressed, it's been bothering me that I don't know what that means about me when I am getting dressed and, you know, putting on my underwear. So anyway, and then he was like, it's sitting right in front of me. That's what
ready
we're
to go
about
right now.
To talk
Whoa,
about. Dudes, weird. I'm like, you're psychic.
Any one of these things always seemed to me like this was from a guy's website. Mm-hmm. You know, it's directed and targeted towards guys.
For dudes.
For dudes. So anytime dudes write for dudes, it always scares me a little bit. Because they don't know.
Right.
They just don't know.
Are they giving good advice?
But some of this stuff seemed like it could make sense. So I wanted to run it by you women. And you tell me if you think the perception is real or not, okay?
Okay.
So what a woman's underwear says about her. I've been trying to get to this for a week. Boy shorts. This is because girls who wear boy shorts are sporty tomboy chicks, which means that they're basically your dream girl because they're cute and playful. They can keep up with the dudes in a flag football game, and they could chug a beer faster than you can. Either that or they're – never mind about that last part. That's nasty. So it's basically saying they're a little sportier, and that's a girl that is sporty will wear boy shorts.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What if you only wear boy shorts to bed? Like, I wonder if that's different. Like, if that's that's your pajamas.
Yeah, because I wear them to bed. I mean, but I don't wear them in regular day wear.
I think this is day wear.
So let's
go ahead and make our rules today.
All day, every day.
Okay.
So would that be accurate as a woman? You know women better than guys do. Would you say, for the most part, you're wearing boy shorts? That's a sporty girl.
I mean, I don't really know. Because I don't know.
I wouldn't wear those during the day.
Because that would be uncomfortable.
It's only, to me, a pajama thing.
Yeah, under your clothes, uncomfortable.
It said at the end of it, either that or they're overweight and the boy shorts make her butt look normal sized.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty harsh.
Okay. Yeah,
I don't know.
Okay.
Don't know.
The thong. Fact, a girl who's wearing a thong wants you to check out her butt. They say ass. That's why she's wearing a thong.
Good job editing that.
I was just thinking it's after 8:30. I can say ass. She's wearing it because she wants you to see what it reveals. Some people will say, nuh-uh, she's wearing business slacks or a skirt that fits tightly around the hips. Mm-hmm. And she has to wear a thong with that because otherwise you'll see the panty line through the fabric and it'll look very crappy and unprofessional. But this guy says BS. For the most part, thongs are just worn. Because women want dudes to check out the booty.
Well, I do make your ass look good, but I mean,
I think it's a combination of both.
It's
you
both.
Do? Because see, that's what I wear, but it's only because of panty lines. Like, right. I hate panty lines.
Right, but that's so people, when they look at your butt, you know, they don't see
the
it.
Line.
So I think it's a little bit of a combination of both, because I think thongs were created for business women in pants that would show panty lines, but I do think there are plenty of women who continue on after business hours to wear them.
It's a rocket.
You know?
Granny panties.
I don't know what that is.
What's that?
No, go ahead. I'm curious what he says.
I want to know what your comment was.
No, you go first. You go first.
If you're elderly.
No.
The good thing about a girl in granny panties is that she's completely relaxed and comfortable with her body and her sexuality. The bad news is that she's relaxed and comfortable because she's in a committed relationship that she doesn't have to put an ounce of effort into anymore. And if you're seeing her granny panties, then that probably means this is your girlfriend wife we're talking about. She knows you're not going anywhere, and she knows that she doesn't have to do stuff to keep you around. Your relationship is long past the turning each other on and being physically attracted to one another phase.
My thought was she's on her period. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that she her worst underwear. And if it's not granny panties, it's your worst pair that you don't care about, because women, I mean, sometimes you never know what might happen, so you put your worst pair on.
Yeah, she's either on her cycle or completely hasn't done laundry in like a month.
Right. It's the last resort. It's the last resort underwear.
Can I ask you kind of a grody question?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How long will you keep those granny panties if you're using them predominantly for that time of the month? I mean, years, we talking about?
Maybe.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. I mean, yeah. If it's...
I mean, you wash them, but you're not going to wear...
Look on his face right now.
You wash them, but you don't wear them out.
Really?
You're not going to wear them out. Like, but they're... I mean, you wash them.
And they're clean.
You're not going to wear them, like, out to the club. I mean, you're just wearing them at home for you.
And is it, like, one go-to pair, or do you have, like,
couple.
Two or three sets? Two or three
sets.
Yeah, a few.
Yeah, a couple.
You asked.
I did.
Jinx.
Commando. The girl who wears no underwear at all can eat.
This is what Bert thinks about when he's this one sentence from Melissa in 2002.
Exactly.
This is what Bert.
Well, I'm a physical person. There are physical things that I will think about.
And he
yes.
assumes that's it if it makes you happy.
Well, that's what you told us. You said you
2002.
So things have changed.
Sometimes it. I mean, sometimes yes, sometimes no.
I told you that you wouldn't like this description. The girl who wears no underwear at all could easily go one of two ways. She's either super slutty.
Yeah, Connor!
Well, according to that last caller, you know,
I mean,
I'm sexually deceptive. So
after
yes.
the five things you need to know or the five guys she needs to do.
Just pulling a Paris Hilton.
Hey, what's up?
Says you're super slutty and just want to cut out a step in the getting naked process, or just lazy as hell. The girl who wears no underwear at all could easily be too lazy to clean the countless pairs of wrecked panties that are all balled up on her bathroom floor as a result of direct panty to booty contact.
That's funny.
Panty to booty contact.
That's a funny sentence.
Definitely written by a dude.
Either way, you'll want to watch out for this girl. There's a good chance she's nothing but trouble. So I don't find the case at all. Are you lazy or slutty?
I can, you know, sometimes yes, sometimes no.
To which part?
Laziness and your slutiness?
I can be both.
Boys' underwear. Do girls wear just straight up dudes' underwear?
I've never heard of that.
Not,
I haven't either. It's,
whitey tighties, but they're boxers to go to bed in.
I mean, yeah, the only, I mean, only the women's underwear that are made to look like, you know, like boys' underwear, but I've never known women to just wear boys' underwear.
First, a disclaimer. It says this does not pertain to girls who wear boxer shorts as shorts, unless she is wearing those boxer shorts as actual underwear. Having said that, if a girl is wearing boys' underwear, whether they're briefs or boxer briefs, only one of two things can be true. Either she's wearing her boyfriend's underwear, which is incredibly weird and gross, or she's a lesbian. Either way, she is not a girl to be messed with, because no matter what the case may be, she's not interested in you.
Well, yeah, if a guy, first of all, if she's a lesbian, you're never going to see him. You know what I mean? Like, if she's a lesbian,
that's what they're saying here. Yeah,
guys, you're never going to see it.
Right.
So if you see it, then she's probably,
uncomfortable and bulky, doesn't it?
Yeah, she probably just was grabbing whatever and didn't. It's not going to work.
And then expensive G-string? A girl doesn't buy tiny, expensive underwear in hopes that someone might accidentally see her in it. Mm-hmm. When she sells out all that money for a nearly non-existent thong, she's every intention of letting somebody see her in it. In fact, she probably put the G-string on that particular night with exactly that plan in mind.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So that's the only one that totally rings
hands
true.
Hands down, for sure.
The rest of them can be questioned, but not the last
one. You're not going to pay $35 for a little underwear.
I know I'm not going to see anyone today set. It's like almost like half the drawer is that kind side, and then the other half of the drawer is like, oh, somebody might see these.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Do you have the green light, the yellow light, and the red light one? Like, what the red light ones are for the granny panties. No one's ever going to see you in those, and those for that time. Mm-hmm. The yellow ones are, okay, if I go out in these and if something happens,
maybe.
Then it's passable. And then there's green light, like, I got a hotel room tonight. It's going to happen.
I don't have as many yellow. It's either functional or fun. Like, mine are in two different categories. Okay. Either fun and cute or just completely...
She only goes red or green.
She only goes red or green. There is no yellow.
No in between.
Okay. The Burt Show. The Burt Show.
We have got to find a better happy medium between bicyclists and motorists. It just has to be done.
Impossible.
No, we need to.
It does seem like it's getting worse and worse and worse, too.
Oh, yeah. I have two examples from past experiences, or from the past week, I would say. I'm traveling over in the Highlands, trying to get over to my friend's house, want to go have some dinner. And I look on the opposite side of the road, come to this stoplight, look at the opposite side of the road, and there is not just one bicyclist. There's not two bicyclists. There is a smorgasbord of bicyclists. Cyclists. A herd of cyclists in one lane at a stoplight with cars backed up behind them. So it is a pile of bicyclists at the stoplight backing up traffic.
And it is like the pack mentality too. Like you get one bicyclist by themselves, they're fine. You know, that's okay. Go ahead. I'll yield to you. Mm-hmm. But you get eight of them together, man, and it is pack mentality. It's attack.
Were they sponsored? Like, did they have their outfits?
they were all sponsored gear. And I would love to wear sponsored gear one day, but that's besides the point. But there was a bicycle lane. That's the thing. There's not just the one lane high roadway. There is a bicycle lane. And aren't you supposed to follow the rules?
I think they're
one
supposed
behind
to be
the other.
Single file. Yeah.
Yes, single file,
if
one behind
provided,
the other.
If it's provided, right?
Right.
And then what's the rule if it's not, if there's no bike lane provided, what's the rule
it's
for
that?
It's
still single file.
Yes.
Like, here's the problem, though, and I'm only going to side with the bicyclist for a half a second here. Mm-hmm. The Atlanta 2-day walk for breast cancer when I was on the crew. It's the first time I've been on a bike in 5 years, but we were on pretty main streets. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize how many streets in Georgia aren't really bike friendly.
Right,
like
right.
There are no lanes to be in, like Ponce, man. I mean, you are in fast traffic, and there's not a lot of room in that lane for bikes to negotiate. So that part I can understand and I empathize with. But when you're taking up the entire street, all of Ponce with you and your herd, and you're getting upset at cars for trying to pass you, that's a totally different thing.
Absolutely. And then I think to the point where I got really mad was when the rollerbladers decided to take up the whole lane of the road. I'm trying to get somewhere. You're taking up the whole lane of the road with your little your headgear with the little light on it, trying to go in the darkness. I can't see you anyway.
And that would intimidate me because you can hear them coming from, you know.
Yes. But they're coming.
Where are the bees?
But now rollerbladers think they can come in and out of the lanes as they please while you're trying to get past them, but they're coming in and out of your lane. I understand sharing the road, but to what point? Like, we only can go single file-y. You can go single file-y. You can ride your bike.
Single file-y. I think you even made a word up.
Yes. Single-file-y. One behind the other, not all clumped together.
Mm-hmm. I always wonder what to do, though. Like, Bert, when it's on those roads where there isn't a bicycle lane, and they're definitely like 1/4 into the lane. So there's no way that you can go around them unless there's absolutely no traffic.
Right.
In the oncoming traffic lane. Mm-hmm. So you're putzing behind them. And I always feel like awkward for them. I'm like, this must be really awkward for you because I am creeping along at about 10 miles an hour and watching you work your butt off on the bike.
See,
like, I'm always wondering, like, what's the etiquette? How far back do I need to stay? Like,
I don't feel like it's awkward for them because I feel like
that's what they want you to do.
Yeah, they're almost arrogant about it. They're almost sitting there pedaling along going, yeah, you're right. You slow down, you car.
I do agree with Bert. Like, I have been frustrated by cyclists before, but I do think that it's a shame that a city that is in the South, that is warm throughout the year, that really has so many people who are active outdoors, doesn't have more facilities for them. And I do think
major
that,
roads.
Yeah, they do. Cyclists do need to have better bike paths and better bike lanes, but it does become a war on the road when you get together with them.
Hey, Scott, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, how are y'all doing this morning?
Good, thank you.
Good. I live up in Alpharetta, and thank God winter's coming along or fall's coming along because the bicyclists are finally starting to slow down. But off of McFarland Road to Windward Parkway, every Saturday and Sunday, there's like numerous bicycles, all like what y'all are saying. I think we ought to just take a broomstick, throw it in their front fork, and start a pile.
I wouldn't say that. I would just say, don't clump yourself together. You don't see a group of cars running side by side on the same lane.
It
like,
might
we're not
be a safety
together.
Thing, like they're all protecting themselves. I don't know what bike etiquette is. But
me neither.
Hey, Kelly, good morning.
Hi, this is Kelly. I had a comment about what you guys were talking about. If there's a bike lane, they should be single file. But if there's not a bike lane, they're supposed to cluster at the stoplight, and then become single file once the light turns green, and that's just like a safety issue.
You rarely see that.
Which is fine, but I think what Wendy's talking about and what I see is, because there's a couple roads near my house that are not main roads, so I think it's cool that they use, like, and there's a group of them. Like, it must be a training or a meeting, you know, there's a they're regularly there. And it's always after, it's like they meet after work, but they're always like three or four wide, and this road is windy. There is no bike path, and it just seems to me unsafe.
I remember I had a friend that lived on Collins Drive in Cobb County, and you know, that's a big workout stretch. That's where we had talked before about the friend who
lost
the engagement ring there. And I remember the cyclist got in trouble on Collins Drive by the cops because they almost were refusing to do the single file thing, you know, because a lot of them, especially if it was just two or three, would be right alongside each other and the cars could not get around them, you know, and so they had to be told by the cops to stop it.
It's almost like they are daring you to hit them. It's like, I know you're not going to hit me, so I'm going to go wider and wider and wider into the lane. Hey, Jamie, or is it Janie?
It's Jamie. Hey, Burt Show.
Good morning.
Good morning. Morning.
I just have a comment too, and about how they take up the lanes when you're behind them, like Wendy was saying, and they stop up traffic. I don't mind them being on the side of the road, but until they pay ad valorem tax, I don't want them taking up the whole lane. And
that's a good point.
That's funny.
You would think a city like this would have more, just more lanes accessible for bikers.
Because I agree, like in my neighborhoods, like in the in-town neighborhoods, a lot of people use it as transportation. Like if you're not going very far for work, a lot of people ride their bikes to their offices and work and restaurants and all that stuff and back. It's not necessarily all the sponsored people. It's just people that want to use a bike rather than a car.
And the inline skaters don't get along with the bikers either. I remember being in D.C.
That's funny.
On different bike paths, they're always jockeying for the same position. And for months, the inline skaters were throwing tacks behind them on the trails.
No way.
So when a bikeless would go by, they'd deflate their tires.
That's terrible.
Because they're fighting over the same space.
They're little ninja rollerbladers with the stars they're throwing behind them.
And I have, being a skateboarder, I've had the same issue with the rollerbladers.
And that's why you built the ramp in your backyard, right?
Right.
So you can stay off the streets.
Get it? The Burt Show. The Burt Show.
We're going to put Danielle here on the voice disguiser. She's not in middle school. She's a freshman in high school.
Okay.
So I'm not sure that changes anything at all. But her best friend, smoking weed. And Danielle feels like she put her mom in sort of an awkward position here. Good morning, Danielle. You are on the voice disguiser. Hi.
Good morning.
Thank you for calling us.
You're welcome. Thanks for helping.
You have absolutely come to the right place.
And we haven't helped you yet, so don't get carried away.
How can we help? What's going on?
So I've had a friend for a very, very long time, and I found out just about a month ago that she's tried pot, and so she told us not to tell anybody, and she said she wouldn't do it again, but she seemed like it wasn't a big deal, and obviously if you do drugs, to me, it's like a really big deal. So then I told my mom, and now my mom feels like she's obligated to tell, but she doesn't want to break her promise to me because we have a very close relationship.
So that does put your mom in an awkward spot. So if she goes to your friend's mom, then she could be helping your friend out. But at the same time, she's breaking your trust because you've asked her not to do that.
Yeah, because I want my friend's mom to find out. But I've known this girl for so long that I don't want to lose a friend.
Would she know, would your friend know that it was your mom if your mom told your friend's mom about her smoking pot?
The thing is, I think it might be because at the party that we went to, she told a group of us and a bunch of us, our moms, their moms don't even see her mom as much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, let's see if we can get some help for you from the Burt Show community here. 404-741-Q100. There have got to be some parents listening right now that have been in this spot where your daughter, your son has begged you not to say anything, but you got to tell somebody. And you're also trying to look out for your best friend here, too, you know? Yeah. That puts you in a tough spot.
Are you?
And I was just going to say, I hope you know how cool your mom is by respecting your wishes and letting you make this decision. That's pretty That's cool. She's letting you be involved in this.
I know. When I asked a couple friends about it, they said your mom would tell. And I'm like, no, she's cool.
Do you think it's one of these things where you may have to sacrifice your friendship with her in order to make sure that she's safe?
Yes.
Do you think she's using pot regularly now?
Probably not, because when she told me she was hanging out with, like, I had lunch with her, so I saw her at a table, like, hanging out with a lot of people who seem like a bad kind. So now she doesn't seem like she's hanging out with those people anymore.
And the six people she was having lunch with crushed 30 bags of Doritos.
It puts you in a tough spot. It really does, you know, because socially, I understand, like, you don't want to be labeled the person, the tattletale, the narc, the one that told. And that stuff spreads like wildfire through high school. So it puts you in a tough spot, too. I mean, the mature thing to do is sacrifice the relationship for the safety of your friend. But it gets a lot more complicated than that socially, doesn't it?
It definitely, I think, is complicated. But I also worry about her friend, too. I mean, if your friend is somebody who just tried this one time and she realizes it's a mistake and she's not going to be doing that ever again. Like, I kind of feel bad for your friend who could be labeled and put into this whole, like, oh, she smokes pot all the time category, and have her mom, like, overly worried about her, even if she just tried it once.
Can we be realistic, though? Can we be realistic? Because chances are pretty good. You just don't try one time and then just stop.
I don't know. You might.
I mean, she's freshman in high school. You're what, 13, 14 years old, right? It's like that. So
it could be that she was just like feeling peer pressured in that one moment, and then now she's not doing it anymore. And I hate for her friend to get like her friend's mother to get over worried about it.
Now,
if it was just a one time thing. But that's why I asked if you thought she was using pot all the time, then it's definitely a concern her mom needs to know about.
Here's Cindy. She's got some advice for you. Hey, Cindy.
Hi.
Hey.
I just wanted to let her know my daughter went through the exact same thing, and it was probably her eighth grade year, but her best friend of 3 years, I mean, they did everything together, went to a party, got mixed up with the wrong kids. She tried marijuana and called Casey and was telling her about it, and then what happened was Casey told her, okay, you know, I won't say anything to your mom, but don't let me find out you did it again because I'm concerned for you. Well, she did it again, and my daughter went to her mother personally and told her, look, I'm concerned. This is what she's doing. And I'm only telling you because we have been friends for so long that I don't want to see her hurt herself.
So what happened to that friendship in the long run?
They're best friends still.
No kidding.
Wow.
That's a great story. Okay, Danielle, that can give you some hope right there.
Yeah.
Was there, Cindy, if Danielle goes down the same path, was there weeks, was there months, were there years where your daughter and her friend didn't talk?
No. Honestly, my daughter's friend called my daughter back up that afternoon and was like, you know what, thank you, because maybe I was headed down the wrong way and I shouldn't have been doing that. And, you know, her mom was pretty much like, okay, well, your daughter's the only friend my daughter can ever have, you know. But, I mean, that cleared up quickly. But, you know, it's just to be able to stand up to your friends and tell them, you know, that you're doing this for their good, it really does matter. And it shows that you are a true friend.
Thank you for calling.
All this grown-up stuff is screwing me up. I hate it when there's, like, 14-year-olds who are more adult-like than I am.
I'll leave it to a 14-year-old to raise the level of maturity on this show.
Totally.
Here's the total opposite side of this whole thing. Hey, Susie, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hey.
All right, so we have Danielle here. She's a freshman in high school. Her best friend smoked some weed. Danielle told her mom, and her mom is respecting Danielle's wishes not to say anything, but everybody's sort of in an awkward position now.
Right. I have a 14-year-old in freshman in high school also, and we were in the same situation. And what ended up happening is we did make the decision to tell the parents because the girl was doing things besides just smoking pot. She was drinking and doing some other things. And the parents didn't want to believe us. And they pretty much severed the friendship between my daughter and their daughter. But what ended up happening is, you know, what's in the dark is going to come to the light. And eventually, you know, several months later, they found out on their own. And now my daughter and their daughter has just rekindled their friendship.
Why would they think that you were making something like that up? Like, what would your motivation be for that?
I don't know, but people have a really hard time believing that their children are doing things that they don't want their children to be doing.
It's not my children. It's always somebody else's. Mine's an angel. She would never smoke weed. What's your problem?
God, isn't that frustrating?
When you have parents that are just so focused.
But it could be anybody. It could be parents. It could be pet owners. It could be anybody who's passionate about something.
I could see myself taking that road with Hayden. Like him, such a departure in a life that I don't get to see. Right. He's such an angel around me, and he so follows the rules and everything that if I get a random call from one of his friends saying that he's smoking weed, I don't think that I would believe it. Mm-hmm. You know, I could see that.
Yeah.
Hey, Greg, good morning.
Hey, how's it going, Bersha?
Okay, good. Man, how are you?
Well, I'm doing good. I was just going to say, you know, if she's going to rat her friends out every time she finds out they're smoking pot, she probably shouldn't go to college.
I think there's a difference between college and age freshman.
Yeah, it's a totally different situation, don't you think?
I don't know.
You're still at your parents' house. When you're 18, you can make your own decisions. You're off at college.
He's under the mindset of rat's a rat.
Yeah.
Always. Once a rat, always a rat. See?
I got narked on when I was little, yes.
Yep. He's still bitter about somebody calling the cops on his house party.
Yeah.
All right, let's try to get you a couple different angles here. Elizabeth, good morning.
Hi, how are y'all?
Good. You got some advice for Danielle?
Yeah, I mean, I'm relatively young. I'm only 19. And the thing is, when I first started smoking pot, I was 14 years old. But it never led to anything more, and my friends never said anything else of it. I mean, it wasn't like I was doing, like, other drugs or anything like that.
So what's your suggestion?
I mean, I just think that if she started doing other things, to tell her, let her mother, like, explain that to the other parents. But if it's just pot, I mean, I don't think it's going to ruin her.
She doesn't think pot is bad.
No, I mean, it's not. I don't think it's, I mean, I definitely don't think it's a bad thing.
Okay, I'm putting all these on just to give you different angles here, okay, Danielle?
Okay.
And here is Kim wants to be on the Voice Disguiser. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the Voice Disguiser.
I have a comment on it. Mm-hmm. I myself, when I was in middle school, 8th grade, end of the year, I tried pot. And for me, literally, it was a one-time thing. And I think that Danielle needs to take into account what the girl's parents' reaction might be like. Because if she thinks that this girl has a parent that'll be understanding and might accept it and not blow something out of proportion that was only literally a one-time thing, then yes, she should tell her. But if it's something that's gonna cause trouble for the girl, she shouldn't go into it.
Yeah, what can you tell us, Danielle, about your friend's parents? Will they overreact to something like this, do you think? Or you think they'd be understanding?
I honestly, like, I think if I told them, like, when it was close to when I heard it, because, like, I did hear, like, a month ago, so, like, it could be an either or. Like, they could be like, well, it was a month ago, but still, like, talk to her about it. Or, like, if it was probably closer to the time when I heard, they probably might have overreacted and gotten really upset.
So, Danielle, did you talk to your friend directly about it? Or you just heard that she did it?
Actually, I heard it from her mouth, and then I talked to her about it, and I was like, aren't you crazy? You know, that's, like, really bad for you. And she's like, I'm not going to do it again. Don't worry. It's fine. I didn't do it with anybody who wouldn't take care of me.
And don't they start at that point, if they continue to do it, they hide that from you?
Maybe.
Yeah. Right?
Maybe. Yeah.
And become the friend that they can't smoke.
Yeah. She heard it from the source and it wasn't like a rumor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take one more call, then we're going to have to move on. Hey, Tammy, good morning. You're on Q100. You have some advice for Danielle here?
I absolutely do. I've raised two teenagers who are now young adults and went through the same problem. But she's right. It will probably break a friend's trust. So what I did in my situation was I went and I talked to the mother. I explained to the mother that my friend, that, you know, my daughter did not want to not be friends, you know, with the other girl or cause any hardship, but that she loved her and didn't want her to, you know, do the wrong thing. So we actually, it ended pretty good. The mother went and talked to her and told her, you know, just because she was in high school, she felt like she needed to drug test her. So she drug tested her and she found out on her own without, you know, conflicting with the friends or whatever. It was just a random thing she did just because. Mm-hmm. And so that worked out as well without, you know, the friends, you know, breaking trust.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good option.
I wonder if there's any way that your mom can go right to her mom and just say, look, it's really important that this didn't come from Danielle.
Mm-hmm.
Really important. So I don't care how you handle it. Just keep us at all costs out of it. Is that a possibility?
That could possibly work. But, like, wouldn't you think when, like, someone's mad, they might, like, accidentally spit out information, like, be like, blah, 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 blah.
Why? Yeah. What about your mom going and saying that she didn't hear it from you?
Well, then, like,
or
she read it in the AJC.
Or what if
covering this up like the dude.
what if she said that she, what if your mom said that she overheard you talking? So that you didn't tell your mom directly, but maybe you were on the phone with a friend.
But that
or
sounds
something.
Like she's talking about her behind her back.
No, but I mean, like on the phone with a friend saying, hey, this happened to so and so. Jen was baked out of her skull the other day at study hall, whatever, you know, and then your mom overheard that and never even went to you.
That could work, but, like, do you think it'd work since it's been a month?
I'm trying to think because it depends on who my mom's talking to, because some of my friends, their parents and my parents were good friends, and then there's other friends that my parents and their parents were acquaintances, so it depends on how close you are and how much you can tell,
where
they are.
I couldn't get to these calls, but some suggestions were go to the school administrator and have them take care of it. I don't know.
No.
I don't like that idea.
That's a little harsh.
No.
That'd be a narc.
That gets her in trouble at school and goes on some sort of permanent file or record or whatever. I think she should definitely handle it with the parents.
Yeah. So you got a couple of things to chew on with your mom there. Maybe you guys got something new here today that you guys could throw around and then figure it out that way. You know, at the end of the day, I know this is a real adult way of looking at things, but at the end of the day, if your intentions are obviously pure and good, you may lose your friend, but you've made the right decision because your heart was in the right place. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's great that you care about your friend.
Totally.
Yeah,
And that might take a sacrifice, but you're doing it for good reasons, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, good luck with your mom and all that.
Thank you. Thank you all for so much help.
Sure. Maybe we'll check back with you in a couple of weeks to find out how you handled it, and maybe we can all learn something from you.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you, hon.
Bye.
Bye-bye. The Bird Show.